Their views and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I am your host, David Prus. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. And with that, it's just me today. So call in with anything you want to talk about, anything that's on your mind. I've got a few things going to bring up with you. On Monday, early voting started. You can vote for whomever you want down at the State of Alaska building on 8th Avenue across from the Saddlers, also formerly known as Penny's, you know, the big parking lot there and everything like that. The location that had the first escalator in Fairbanks, and that was a big thing back in 1966 when that happened. I mean, that was big. Anyway. But you have an opportunity if you think you're going to be gone or you want to vote early, you want to get out of the way, go do it. I'm going to be traveling on the 18th and 19th of August, which is August 18th is the primary voting day. So I'm going to be voting early. And who am I voting for? I don't even know yet. You know, I've got some thoughts. You know, I've got three people I'm looking at. But I have a theory. I think about 20 to 30% of the voting population right now for governor has not decided yet. And about 15 to 20% are going to go into that voting booth and make a decision right there. Am I right? Am I wrong? What's your thought? We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And last night, I got back into politics after a hiatus. Yes, I did. I sat at the combined booth out at the fair for Senator Sullivan and Congressman Nick Begich and enjoyed it. Enjoyed it. A little bit hot in that building. Emily joined me and allowed me to get some water and hydrate, but my God, it was interesting. It wasn't as crowded as I thought and enjoyed myself. Saw lots of people that I knew and had great conversation. And no, I'm not running for anything. Let them know that. A friend of mine's son, he gave me a text, and he's Senator Sullivan's campaign person up here. And he had some open times that he wanted, wondering if I could fulfill out there at the fair yesterday. So, you know, I said yes. I hadn't planned on going to the fair this year. Now I've been to the fair. And, hey, go to the fair. It is, you know, I enjoyed it. We enjoyed it. Simple as that. Good food, good treats, good people. You're going to see people that you know. You're going to see Fairbanksons. Great weather. I mean, great weather. Cherish this one because the weather is fantastic. And we enjoyed ourselves, had some of the corn fritters and things like that. You know, I saw the all the usual suspects that I normally have. You know, I saw the Cajun Connection. Oh, it was hard walking by that. Oh, boy. Just some great booths for food, the ice cream, lots of Euros, lots of Asian food, just some good stuff going on out there. So if you get the chance, get out there. And what caught my interest, you know, you have in the blue pavilion thing there, what caught my interest was they have the League of Women Voters, or someone does a poll, you know, that you vote, and You vote from your district, and you get this one shot. And I got to tell you, it made me laugh. I mean, it made me laugh. You know, I looked at governor, and number one by far, was Tom Begich. Number two by far was JKT, and I just laughed. I don't think so. So a very leftist liberal bent goes to that voting place. I didn't. I just walked by it, and, you know, I haven't voted there in, well, a few times in this millennium, but not often. And just looked at that and decided this is not a realistic presentation of what's going to be going on out there. But who is our number one, two, three, and four for governor? Who is our one, two, three, and four for U.S. Senate? You know, even the decoy Dan, even he had about six or seven votes. You know, and Mary Pottola, she was three to four times the amount of U.S. Senator Dan S. Sullivan, the incumbent, as he's put on the ballot there. And so I just laughed at that. No, you know, it's a saw a lot of people in tie dye, you know, walking around older. I thought, my goodness, we have that generation here that's walking around, and some of them needed help. But yeah, it was fun just to look at and sit in that booth and just enjoy, relax, do nothing. And it was fun. It was fun. Will I go out there again? I do not know. I have a feeling I'll get a few texts of sitting at that booth again. But I enjoyed it. You know, it. What got me was also the guy who Hill, the gentleman who is claiming to be a independent, but it's a very, very, very far left Anchorage Democrat. He had like a 300% lead over Congressman Young. I mean, not Young, I'm sorry, Begich. And I looked at that and chuckled. I said, oh boy, this is not accurate. And when you have something like that, like myself, it just put me off from voting. I just looked at it and said, why would I participate in something that is so statistically off? I don't want this to be relevant. I want this to just be displayed like this because it's just going to make people laugh and say, boy, what's going on out here at the fair? And I was not charged for parking at the fair yesterday. I reading today's paper, you know, they had people out there on Sunday saying that you had to, you know, we're at the fair parking here and taking money. And so now the fair's investigating it. My goodness, that's a great caper. I never even thought about that. Even all my Lex Luthor thoughts on something like that, I would never have thought of that. But someone did, and they got money out of some Fairbanksons that weren't thinking of it, because you don't think that, okay, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, fair day is the only one they're going to be charging you for parking at. Anyway, so it happened. Sadly so. And anyway, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Going to take a break, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fish on! The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by Frontier Outfitters. Drop in and explore their extensive fishing department. Rods to reels, lures to lines. You'll see fresh and saltwater, as well as fly fishing tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Stock up on supplies for your Alaska-sized summer of fun. Coolers to camping gear. Frontier Outfitters is your first stop to making your next outdoor adventure a success. Your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
This is Lori Prox in Valdez with a fishing update. The Queen of the Silver Salmon Sisterhood will be crowned this weekend in Valdez at the Women's Silver Salmon Derby. This past week, sun was shining and the silvers were big and bright. Raymond Martell said he was fishing on the outside of Goose Island and picked up his 13.48-pound silver while jigging. His fish won him a first-place daily prize in the Valdez Silver Salmon Derby and put him on top of the leaderboard.
We had a lot of fish on that morning. We certainly got our limit, and we threw back probably another 20 fish. So, I mean, we had a really good day.
Martell said he likes to fish the Derby because the prizes are good. Andy said sometimes you only have to catch like an 11-pound fish to win a daily. When asked what he thought his chances were of winning the $10,000 grand prize in the Valdez Silver Salmon Derby, here's what he thought his chances were.
Slim to none. I bet you we get a 15-16 pounder this year.
Martell is leading the Derby. Zachariah Wiggerding of Fairbanks is currently second with a 13.40-pound silver, and Corey Cooper of Cedar Rapids, Iowa is currently in third place with a 13.36-pound silver. With the Valdez Women's Silver Salmon Derby coming up on August 8th, odds are good. Big silvers will be caught on Saturday and knock out the leaders. The first place prize in the Women's Derby, $1,000 cash and $1,000 in prizes.
Sure, the fishing is great in Valdez, but we also have opportunities to get outside and explore. Enjoy unbelievable views on one of our many hiking trails. Kayak the Sound, book a glacier tour, or learn about Valdez's rich history at one of our many museums. Stop by our visitor center on Fairbanks Drive for advice on everything Valdez. Discover more at ValdezAlaska.org.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Mainly cloudy skies expected today with daytime highs approaching 78. Southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows dip down to about 55. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 77. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. In the studio here, the purple padded room with the North Korean equipment. All seems to be operating correctly for the moment. Yes, sometimes miracles do happen, but we're 5x5, all systems go. Hey, isn't it a beautiful August? You know, yesterday with the Laundry House Gang, I bring up since day one having the Laundry House Gang on, the last 5 to 10 minutes of the show is what would you recommend doing? What outside adventure is there? And we had some good ones yesterday. We had some good ones. And, you know, we have what I call a crown jewel, a couple crown jewels. The Chena River. You know, it's a river runs through it, simple as that. If you can get on the river on a motorboat or a kayak, raft, it's beautiful outside. This is a beautiful August. You know, you have at least another week to three of good outside weather. Take advantage of it. You know, put in at the Grail Landing. Go down if you're a member of the Elks. Make sure you stop in there. And, oh, by the way, this Friday, it's the rib night again. And Ted Jones Jr., also known as Ted Baker, he does the ribs at the Elks starting at 6 o'clock on Friday. I believe the cost for a full meal, half rack of ribs and everything, is $25. So plan on it. They're just incredible, and people just really like him. And what the heck? He's a great person, and he is a great volunteer member of the Elks. And Friday night dinner, 6 o'clock, $25, full meal, half rack of ribs. Anyway, then you're going to float down a little bit farther, and you hit the Botel. And the Botel, you know, it's just that fun neighborhood bar that Fairbanks is the neighborhood for it, all of Fairbanks is. Whenever you walk in there, you're going to know someone. They've really, over the last 5 to 7 years, they've really expanded the outside decking, the live entertainment that they have out there. When there is live entertainment, they have food trucks available. You know, they still have their Christmas Day breakfast that they put on there. It's a great place. It's on the river. It's nice. It's in town. Go try that out. Then you're going to travel a little bit south, farther south, west on the river, and it's Chena's fine dining restaurant there at the campground, the hotel and the motorhome park. And yeah, it's a very nice restaurant. They don't take reservations, and their outside dining is probably one of the best in town in regards to the ambiance on it. I mean, you're right on the Chena River, right outside, and it's very enjoyable. It's very nice. It's not five star, but it's like 4.5 star dining. It's very nice for Fairbanks. It's a very nice atmosphere, good wine list, good list of special beverages that they create there, and get over there and do it. Then you're going to go a little bit farther west, and, you know, I've not been in there in about, to the restaurant in about 5 to 8 years, but the Princess, they have two restaurants there. They have one, you know, the saloon, and then they have their restaurant. How they take reservations and everything like that, I don't know, but they got a great big deck right on the river. Go figure it out. Go try. And if you don't want to do that, hit Pike's Landing, the original one there. And nice deck. They redid the whole deck. Good service. Good menu. Nice people. Jeffrey B., great chef. Jay Ramres, good owners. Put a lot more stuff in there. And just a good way to spend some time and enjoy yourself. Then go all the way down to the end of the journey, we'll call it, and you have the Pump House. And you can pull out there or stop there and you can go back north like Emily and I and a couple of our friends did a few weeks ago. And you can sit out on the deck, or you can sit in the saloon, or you can sit in the restaurant. I like sitting in the saloon. I like sitting in the saloon sitting in a nice couch there with a table in front and just relaxing, enjoying a few beverages, and ordering off their Senator Saloon food list. Some great stuff. Benny, since him and the other owners have acquired this, it's really doing well. They revamped the menu, kept some stuff, brought in some other stuff. They have LaVille's Bourbon Street Shrimp. I mean, there it is. It's so good. And then you always have to get a little bit more bread just to dip it in that wonderful sauce that they have and do that. But they have a lot of good things there. You know, they have, you can get the steamer clams, you can get the clams. Very good, very good seafood menu. Probably the best seafood menu in town, if from fish to everything. I don't eat fish, but I like the everything else. I like crustaceans, scallops, shrimp, crab, exoskeleton type things. Yeah, that's a big word for me. But anyway, so a great place to go on the deck, on the river, and it's wonderful. Now, here next Monday, I believe, is August 10th. And one thing about August 10th is it's a beginning of hunting season, I call it. You know, if you want upland birds tonight, if you want upland birds, games, you know, grouse, you get to go out there and get a few, then cook them. You know, Jen Uhas, she was in here yesterday, and she doesn't start that till September. And, she's a really good cook when it comes to game management, and she lives at her significant other, Paul, they live a great lifestyle and pilots and getting out there. And sadly, she's not going to be doing any hunting for moose or caribou because she's moving back into her house that they had to rebuild. But she's going to go out and get some grouse, that's for sure. And good for them. Good for them. But August 10th, opening day of sheep hunting season. The caribou, August, lots of caribou migration. That's where it goes. September, moose. Where are you going to, you know, a lot of people go looking for moose. And me, not so much anymore. I'm going to go sheep hunting next year. But I just don't need to put 500 pounds of meat in the freezer. Yeah, I think I still want to do the sheep hunting just to prove myself that I still can do that. I know, sort of crazy, but what the heck. Oh. Now, going out to the fair, the souvlaki. You know, it was hard for me to go past the souvlaki. The souvlaki has been a part of Fairbanks. You know, it started out at, you know, either at the Pioneer Park, Alaska Land back then, and then on 1st, 2nd Avenue where it was, and then over on a building where the bridge is now, took everything out there. But they're still out at the Tanana Valley State Fair. And I got to tell you, it was not easy walking by them yesterday. And I just sort of took a look at them there and just sort of stopped and, you know, reminisced to Emily. God, they've been out here and they're so good. And, oh, look at all that stuff. So if you go to the fair, go to the souvlaki. They're one of the OGs. There's some OGs out there. But they're probably one of the top three originals that are still there all these years, 30 to 40 years later, that do fair food. But I don't consider it fair food. They're restaurant food in a good way, and they've done it, and they still do it. And I'm glad that they still do it out there. So, oh, man. And you know, it's interesting. Every year there's something new. And Chad from Tundra, he's still out there. You know, I get to see him once a year, have a little talk with him. He's out there. And I love Tundra. You know, no offense, News Miner, but the reason I read you is because of the comics. You know, you're for the most part. But my God. Oh, anyway. But Chad's out there this week. And go talk to him, get a book. He's sitting there, he's doing his comics, and you know, he's up here for the entire duration. Great guy. And I just enjoy the familiarities of the fair when you walk through it. I look at the pass you get in. That's sort of like your cover charge. You go eat heavily, go visit friends. Oh boy. So anyway, the fair's looking good this year. I encourage you to go enjoy it. Bring your kids out there especially. You know, school starts in what? A week, 10 days? Oh, my God. You know, I'm going to use the old when I went to school. We didn't go to school until after the opening day of duck hunting season. It was September. You know, after third grade through high school, never made it to opening day of school because we're out shooting ducks out at Healy Lake. And about the second year, the teachers understood, okay, this is what the Prues family does. Dad just sat him down and said, hey, look, this is what I do. This is what we do. It's our family time. They will come back. They'll work hard. They'll get caught up, but you're not interrupting this. And now, my goodness. Oh, school starts too early. And I still think that. Okay. Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break. We got a little bit of YouTube Vertigo as bumper music here for you. Then we're going to go in. Oh, we got a phone call coming in. We'll answer that when we get done here. Anyway, hopefully they hold on. Then we got some Fox News, some state news, some weather, and some commercials, and we'll be back.
is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
I'm John Saucier, Michigan Democrat Abdul El-Sayed declared the winner of his state's Democratic Senate primary last night. The now Democratic candidate thanking his primary opponent, Congresswoman Haley Stevens.
Haley brings the best of herself to her work. She is one of the most committed public servants that you'll ever meet. She loves democracy like I love democracy. And whatever differences that we might have had in the primary, they pale in comparison to what unifies us.
He'll face Republican candidate former Congressman Mike Rogers in the general election in November. The Senate said to confirm Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche as official head of the Justice Department after he was advanced out of committee on Tuesday. Blanche says he's not worried about this vote.
I've been talking to Republicans and Democrats for the past several months, and I'll continue to do so. And my team has been as well.
Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins suggesting she would not vote to confirm Blanche. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily News Minute reports hot, dry weather led to a surge in the Tatlanika fire burning southwest of Fairbanks on Sunday. Smoke was visible from Fairbanks and reduced air quality over the weekend. On Sunday, winds pushed ash over Fairbanks and North Pole, with many residents reporting ash covering their vehicles and yards. The Alaska Division of Forestry and Fire Protection said Fairbanks and North Pole will likely see smoke and possibly ash through midweek, despite recent rains. The Tatlanika fire was discovered on June 20th, burning in a limited management area about 25 miles east of Clear and 39 miles southwest of Fairbanks. It is estimated to be less than 2,000 acres and is currently in monitor status. A new fire was reported on Sunday also at mile 46.5 Chattanooga River. The shovel fire originated when fire spread from a burning structure. Sunday, it was estimated at a quarter acre and is burning in an area surrounded by hardwoods. The Forestry Department said two smoke jumpers were on the scene on Sunday night and additional resources were en route.
Streaming live online at
KFAR660.com. Dan Sullivan, by the numbers. 12 years in Washington, D.C., where he made almost 100 stock trades for himself. While Alaskans were paying higher and higher health care costs, Sullivan bought and sold stocks in pharmaceutical companies, making trades worth millions of dollars. Doing better than most other investors, even growing his own stock portfolio by 50%. In the end, Sullivan tripled the size of his fortune, and we paid more for doctor visits and prescription drugs. We're stuck with soaring prices, and he's worth up to $14 million. And once he made that fortune, Sullivan tried to cover it up, breaking Congress's insider trading law and hiding his trades for months. All those numbers sure work out for Dan Sullivan, but they definitely don't work out for Alaska.
I'm Mary Peltola, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Alaskans for Mary.
Why is a billionaire from Pennsylvania running ads in Alaska about getting rid of ranked choice voting?
Dum, 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 dum. Vote yes, yes.
It's because ranked choice is part of an Alaskan election system that includes open primaries and dark money disclosure laws. Open primaries allow us to vote for the best candidate, regardless of party. Dark money disclosure requires outside spenders to tell us where they get their money. These outsiders want to control our elections, and they don't want you to know about it. They don't want you to know that Ballot Measure 2 gets rid of open primaries, taking power from you and giving it back to the political parties. And it lets outsiders flood Alaska with untraceable campaign cash. These outside billionaires think Alaskans are
dumb, 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 dumb.
Vote no on closed primaries. Vote no on dark money. In November, vote no on Measure 2. This communication paid for by Protect Alaska's Elections. Top three contributors are United America PAC, SEIU 775 Ballot Fund, and Mary Minor.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here. Hey, it's just me. If you want to talk about anything, give us a call, 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Now, with the thought of locations, do I go to Chena's, Pike's Landing, or the Pump House tonight? What's your thought? You know, it's a beautiful night. I'm not going out to the fair again. No, that was a one and done. I've made that executive decision. So where should I go? Let me know. Anyway, hey, it's going to get interesting. It should come out in tomorrow's paper, but the RFP for the old Polaris site was all due on Friday, this last Friday, at 5 p.m. And from what I've heard, they had a entry into a company giving an RFP. And it's going to be interesting to see what it is and what it transpires. And, you know, this is what I've told city council members, you know, some of them. Some of the best decisions in life I ever made were the decisions not to do something. So don't think that you have to, whatever it is, if it's not going to be something that really sets a precedent down there or changes the dynamics of the downtown, wait for something better. The marketing of that site was non-existent, literally non-existent. They should have been down in Anchorage. They should have been looking at larger developers, Pacific Northwest, Anchorage, Widener, J&L. There was no marketing of that site. Go to our website of the city, pull up the RFP. When only you only have one entry, and we'll see what it is. You want competition. And remember, just because there's one doesn't mean you have to take that one. You know, check out, see what it is. Is it worthy of having that site? And if it's not, start again. Say, okay, we're going to do this again, and we're going to put it back out there. We're gonna have a marketing team market this, you know, put someone, you know, get a team from Fed, get people from Fedco, the city council, the Chamber of Commerce, you know, people like that, and have them put together a marketing presentation to take to different locales. Here it is. This is what's available. It's right downtown center. And you know, Fairbanks, it is economically, it's been growing a little bit over the last 10 years. And, you know, you sort of take a look around and, but my goodness, there's stuff being built and have been built. So take the gas line. Just put it off the side. Just don't even think of the gas line. Don't even think about that. Be looking at the mining industry, the mineral industry, the Ambler Road, the Moncho. Be looking at the economic activity from hard rock ground mining. You know, hey, they got a lot of stuff going on up north that helps Fairbanks too, in the in Prudhoe Bay and the Alpine, the different satellite fields that are big, that are coming on, that they're drilling and tying in. Yes, that's happening. But take a look at the mineral industry we have, the Felix Dome out there in Esther. You know, you're looking at a whole different aspect of mining very close to Fairbanks. And here's the thing about it. You're going to have some Esterites saying, oh, not in my backyard, NIMBY. Guess what? You started out as a mining area. You're still a mining area. You still have mining going on out there. This is available for mining. It's patented land. Just because you don't want something near you doesn't mean it doesn't have to happen or it can't happen. Simple as that. And incredible opportunity. Incredible opportunity out there. We'll see what happens. You know, over the next 5 to 8 years, you're going to see. Simple as that. And my goodness. So, what the heck. Again, you can go vote for one of 17 candidates for governor. One of 15 governor candidates for U.S. Senate. One of 14 candidates for U.S. Congress. And take a look and see what you want to do and how you want to do it. I've not decided yet on mine. Boy, you know, there's some really good candidates out there. I mean, there really are a wide variety. They all bring something. And in my mind, I have to figure, I have to classify them, which is the one I want the most. Is it someone who's not been associated with elected office before? You got about four or five good candidates for that. Is it someone who has been associated with elected office? You got a lot of that. Is it someone from the interior? Is it someone from Anchorage? Is it someone with a business mind? Is it someone with a development mind? Is it someone with an administrative mind? Is there a combination of all that in a single person? Because no matter what, the governor operates an $8 to $10 billion corporation. That's what a governor does. And so who would be best running this corporation? Alaska, corporate Alaska, with all the departments, all the commissioners, everything that they do and how they do it. And how are you going to get along with your board of directors, which is the legislature? And, you got some legislators out of Anchorage. Their brain waves are sort of frazzled, I think, but we'll leave it at that. And, I don't pick on Fairbanks legislators because it's Fairbanks. We're all one here, but I like picking on Anchorage. Bill Wilikowski, he's my favorite target for the last couple of years because whether the economics worked on this gas line or not, he tried to make it a taxation bill. Simple as that. Whether this gas line would work standalone without it, they should have been given the chance. He would not give them the chance. Him and Kathy Geisel out of Anchorage. So we'll see what happens, new governor, new legislature. We'll see who it is. We'll see if they can put something together. Are they going to, will it survive the lawsuits one way or another, whether it goes or stops, whether it goes clean without a gas tax, without an LLC tax, without an S corporation tax, or even with it, there's going to be lawsuits. Simple as that. Interpretations, oh boy. And hey, we have an oil line because the Vice President of the United States, who's the President of the Senate, Spiro T. Agnew, under the Nixon administration, voted the deciding 50-50 vote to do it. That's right. So hey, it's been close before. It'll be close again. We're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Sky-high prices are driving Alaskans out of our state. I'm Dave Bronson. I'm running for governor to unlock our oil, gas, mining, and critical minerals and create good-paying jobs across Alaska. Together, we will bring fiscal discipline to Juneau, fix infrastructure, support strong schools, and stop the wasteful spending hurting families. I'm the only Republican candidate with executive experience running government. I hope I can count on your vote.
Before by Bronson Church, 2026, PO Box 90938, Anchorage, Alaska, 99509.
Of all the creatures on God's green earth, humans are the funniest. Some say the government revealed aliens are real. Imagine that, because you recall your septic tank, told you first. Likely you'll never contact an alien, but if you don't pump out your septic tank, I'll contact you. You may rather meet an alien. Have Bigfoot Pumpin' and Thong pump me out just once a year. I'll serve you much better.
I'm Bill Walker.
81% of Alaskans believe building the gas line is a critical issue in this election, and they have confidence that Walker Hoffbeck can get it across the finish line. South Central Alaska, where 60% of Alaskans live, is facing an energy emergency. Natural gas doesn't just heat our homes and businesses. It also generates 85% of South Central's electricity, and the supply from Cook Inlet is running short. Utility leaders warn that imported natural gas is all but guaranteed in the next few years. That means relying upon foreign fuel for our military and dramatically higher heating and electric bills for every family and business. There is no time for a new governor to get up to speed. This crisis demands immediate action and expertise. From gas supply and construction to project finance and market relationships, Randy Hoffbeck and I have decades of experience in every element of developing Alaska's natural gas. Affordable energy, good-paying jobs, a robust Alaska. On August 18th, vote Walker Hoffbeck. We'll keep our foot on the gas.
Paid for by Walker Hoffbeck for Alaska. P.O. Box 90153, Anchorage, Alaska 99509.
Weather brought to you by Frontier Outfitters, your store for the outdoors. Your next adventure begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle. It's Frontier Outfitters.
KFAR Weather.
Mainly cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 78. Winds out of the south around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows dip down to about 55. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 77. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Just missed a phone call there again. You know, you have your breaks, and we got another phone call coming in. Let's see what we got here. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Bill Walker.
Well, Governor Walker, how you doing, sir?
I couldn't be better. I'm in beautiful Fairbanks today. It's awesome.
Are you up here campaigning?
Well, there's an event over here in Doyon at the Tribal House, the David Salmon Tribal House, and it's great. It's great to be here.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in. Nice unexpected surprise. How you been doing, sir? And hey, thank you for putting me on the Real Estate Commission. You know, I spent 4 years on there. You appointed me. Thank you very much for that honor, sir. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for your service, and thank you for your service as mayor as well. And thank you for your incredible barbecue that I've eaten. The cook off here in Golden Days, and so yeah, you're lots of good stuff you do, my friend.
So hey, you're running for governor again. Congratulations and condolences. How's it going for you, sir?
You know, it's going fine. This is a very different campaign for me. You know, this is one where I just knowing what I know, knowing what can be fixed, and knowing where we're headed. I'm a terrible spectator. And I'm saying things that no one else is saying. I'm taking positions no one else is taking.
Well,
because I can't.
You've been there. You've been there. You've seen it. You're speaking from experience.
Well, and I feel like I left a house about half built. You know, the fiscal plan was about halfway through, and we didn't get that finished. And as a result, we're down to, you know, $3 billion in savings, down from about 16, 20. We're getting close to the wire here. Of course, you know how I feel about the gas line. I've been at that for more than a minute, obviously, in my past. So I'm very passionate about that, to get that done, but to get it done in such a way that it's good for Alaska and good for Alaskans or not.
You know, I had a gentleman on here about a week ago who was one of your special assistants, Sterling Gallagher. And what he said was, you know, and it really caught my attention. He says it costs almost 16 to 20 times the cost to operate a gas line than it does a oil pipeline. So your economics are much different. So,
well, you know, yeah, that's true. Their economics are different. But my biggest concern is making sure that what we end up with is something that you know, we thought we were going to get cheap energy with the oil. And obviously we didn't. And, you know, these high prices of energy are just absolutely—it's actually killing Alaska. I mean, how you bring in a business and say, "By the way, here's our—you know—we have the highest energy costs in the world. Come on and open up your business." And so, I hate that we export raw materials out of here. I mean, some places have you know, don't allow that to happen. And we do. We export all of our raw materials out of here. We don't do much of the, you know, secondhand processing here, but it's all the cost of energy. So
you're very experienced at it. What do you like and dislike about the present HB 381 without a tax on it for S corporations or LLCs? You know, this a clean one. What's good? What would you want changed? What would you want added? How do you think it, what do you think would make it work better?
Transparency. You know, you've got to have transparency, and you know that's the biggest problem is that, you know, someone is asking for something, but we don't get to see the real the whole deal. And I think transparency is absolutely critical when you're talking about someone else's resources and when you're talking about the future of a state and what are we going to get out of it. How do you negotiate with someone you don't get to see what all the numbers are? So I think what's lacking is transparency. I think if they had transparency, I think this would be a much smoother process.
Yeah, they are wanting our natural gas.
Right.
So let's see your numbers a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. See the numbers and seeing what everybody's getting out of the deal. And you know, if it's just a private deal that they own the gas and they own everything 100%, that's one thing. But they don't. You know, we gave it to them at no cost, about $800 million worth of value. And that's fine. But so we're already invested in this. We're the investors. And also we're the market, so we ought to see that. And I'm pretty adamant that I think it would have gone much smoother if there'd been any transparency. I mean, it's all been, you know, kept behind closed doors, and you know that's not right.
Yeah, that was through the Alaska Gasline Development Corporation, most of it, I would think, and here it is, and it. This is my thought. That everyone's going to see this all again under the next governor and the next legislature. It's my thought.
And that's one of the reasons I'm running is because, I mean, I think we ought to have someone there that's been there before in that regard and on that issue, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, when I was governor, we you know, our three partners, Exxon, BP, and Conoco, told me one day we're done. We're gonna shut this down. And I said, no, actually not. We'll take it over. But we need to have, so if the Glen Farne, I hope it's a huge success. I really do. I hope it will, and I'll do everything I can to make it successful. But if it's not, we need to find out, what are we going to do?
What I like about your candidacy is many things, but your lieutenant governor, who was the commissioner of revenue for you, Randy Hoffbeck.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got to get numbers guy in the number two seat.
Yeah, it's a dream to have him in that position, because we can talk about something, and he'll do on the back of an envelope, come back and have a number for me, and I mean he knows this stuff inside and out, and we have a significant we need to grow the pie. I don't mean grow government. We need to grow the pie, and as it continues to shrink and shrink, you know, it sort of become the Hunger Games of going after each other's share of the pie. And that's not the Alaska that I was born into here in St. Joseph's Hospital. You know, we worked together. So I could not get involved, Dave. I could not stand by the wayside and watch, knowing what I know, and do nothing. I just couldn't do it. And there's some friends of mine that are running. There's some good people running, and I don't attack anybody that's running. That's fine.
You've been very gentleman about it, sir. You really have.
Well, I think that's part of the problem with politics is that it can get pretty ugly, and I don't want to be part of that.
And you know, when you were governor, I so enjoyed the first lady, her elegance.
Oh,
this fantastic lady. I mean,
yeah,
really.
She is. She is absolutely the. She is. I am very blessed with my first lady, Miss Donna. She is absolutely wonderful. So thank you for acknowledging that. You're absolutely correct on that. So.
Yeah, I really, really think that, and I'm gonna let you go, sir.
Okay.
And thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. Enjoy Fairbanks.
Yeah, I enjoyed it immensely, and. Yeah, we're gonna be pushing hard till the 18th, and hope a lot of people turn out to vote.
You take care, buddy. Talk to you later. Thank you for the call.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye, Governor.
Bye now.
Oh, hey. Well, at least I got a phone call. What the heck? But here's some big news. I got a text from Al, my man, the guy who does my kimchi, that I don't have any right now, Al. But he's getting Papa Murphy's pizza tonight. He claims it's 50% off. So he mentioned that yesterday on the Laundry House Gang that was on yesterday. He's a big pizza fan. Aren't we all? My goodness. What the heck? Now, you know, I pulled out my... Boy, I wanted to, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't say, okay, Governor Walker, you're going to play Dave's Lottery on the gubernatorial candidate. Give me your 1, 2, 3, and 4 in order. I wanted to, but I didn't do it. And looking at it, I would say for the primary, the number one person looking like with the most votes is Begich. The number two person, I would say, is Wilson. But we have some Bishop in there, too. The number three person, I would say, is it's a toss between Bishop and Bronson. Then the number four position, and it's where it gets interesting. We have some Halala. We have some JKT. A lot of crumb. And so I've not done my final four yet. And boy, I've not even voted yet, but I have to vote early because I'll be in Kotzebue for a Alaska Housing Finance Corporation board meeting traveling on the 18th and meeting on the 19th and back. So on the flying back on the evening of the 19th. Once a year, we go outside of Anchorage where we have our board meetings all the time. And last year, I didn't go. I just went there by Zoom, but it was to Unalaska, Dutch Harbor. And I thought, you know, I might get weathered in there for a week. So I can't afford that. So I attended via Zoom. But this time, I'm going to travel to Kotzebue. And hey, I get the state of Alaska, Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, they're buying my ticket. And what the heck? I get an airline ticket. After 4 years of service, I get an airline ticket. Oh, boy. But looking forward to it. I've never been to Kotzebue. You know, I've been to Nome, this, you know, 25 years ago, but I've never been to Kotzebue. And looking forward to it. In and out, spending the night. We fly in, look at some properties that we're making loans on. So it is a working trip. It's not we're not going there just to see what Kotzebue is. We have our board meeting. We fly out, and then I spend the night in Anchorage with a good friend. I fly back up here on Thursday morning, so it's a quick trip. Anyway, hey, Fairbanks, this is our show. On Friday, I have Ivy Carilla with Ask a Nurse. Looking forward to that. Don't know where I'm having dinner at tonight or if I'm cooking it myself, but what the heck? Can enjoy it. You should, too. It's beautiful out. Enjoy everything you can this August about Fairbanks and the outdoors. And I will see you on Friday.